Hey everybody, welcome back to The Mindful Edge. I'm Dr. P, and today we're doing something a little bit different. We're calling this episode Cecil Unhinged. Where he steps down from his therapist mode and steps into this raw space of letting us in to who Cecil is. So brace yourselves today, guys.
Listen, this is going to be fun. I get to be vulnerable, right? And if people know, people, the listeners out there, typically you get to hear therapist Cecil on the microphone, or if you're following me on any social media page, you get to hear therapist C a lot, but you're going to get actually C. So I'm ready for this one.
Okay, so let's get right into it. So let's start at the beginning. We're going to talk about like identity, energy, and I'm just going to get right into your Facebook. Okay, so you posted, "I am unforgettable. My energy and my aura cannot be replaced or matched." What does that mean when you say it?
So I literally came, when I made that post, it was more to be petty in a way, unfortunately.
Uh-oh, petty C?
Petty C, which is like, I'm just being honest where the post came from. But when I said it, I'm a person typically who does not believe in self. I know it's crazy, right? The confidence exudes out a lot of times on social media and in person. But when it comes to sitting with myself, I struggle. I struggle with imposter syndrome. I struggle with anxiety. And so when I made that post, it was more for me to remind myself that I know when I walk into rooms, I'm reminded, right? People remember me. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm in certain spaces, people remember Cecil. It's typically hard for me to walk into a space and someone not remember who I am. That particular mantra or that particular word of affirmation, you can say, helped me in that moment to realize, like, you really are dope. Okay. And you really are, you come from a place that typically most black men don't come from. Right. We typically are very quiet about who we are because we were told to. I grew up in a family full of women, right? So
yeah. Me being one of them. Strong women at that.
You get great pats on the back and do well, but you're not told from a man how to be a man out in society and be strong and be unforgettable and walk into spaces and just be yourself authentically.
Yeah.
Right. So if people are following me on social media, they see I wear braids. I'm a person with goals, right? Mm-hmm. That is authentically who I am outside of the degrees.
Yeah.
Right. Outside of the learning environment as therapist. See, that's who I want. I grew up listening to the Hot Boys, Cash Money, right?
Yeah, Cash Money. Break it down for the 9-9.
Grew up on the north end of the city of Toledo. So if you're from Toledo, you know north end is a little bit different. It's the urban neighborhood. Yeah. So grew up in the hood with a single parent household. So that is authentically who I am. I'm unforgettable. You cannot match my energy. You cannot replace my energy when I walk into a room. And I want you to not forget me when I walk out that room.
And I will say, yeah, you are unforgettable. And I love when you wear your grills. Oh, I love it, because one thing I think professionals struggle with, that especially when we've come from quote unquote the hood, is being our authentic selves in spaces that sometimes don't want the authenticity of who we are.
So for years, right, being a therapist, you start to work into business casual, right?
Yeah,
I have to fit a uniform.
And
so a couple years back, I remember when my mom was alive, I was like, I want a grill. And she was like, boy, you better not get no grill.
I
know Cookie was turning her grave at my house, haunting me when she realized I bought a grill. But originally the plan for the grill was so that the kids I work with understood that you don't have to be a rapper. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in the streets. You don't have to do something illegal to be yourself authentically, right? Like, I transitioned from wearing business casual to certain places to wearing hoodies and jeans and pants to be authentically myself, because the information coming out don't change what the clothes is on with the man.
Yeah.
Right. Because once I talk, you get to hear, okay, he know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. He understands the word. He understands the terminology. I can code switch. I can do all that stuff. But to be able to wear a grill, to be able to say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you're going to get this. It's going to be raw. It's going to be, I'm going to listen to some rap when I pull up to some Jeezy, or I'm going to listen to something before.
Jeezy.
Right.
No, I love Jeezy.
I'm going to be who I am. And if you don't like it, that's on you. That's your insecurity.
Okay. So we're going to, but you also posted. So I've really prepared, and Keitha, our cousin, she was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm preparing for Cecil's episode. So in that, you put you are unforgettable. And then like a couple days later, you put, I'm dope. I'm enough. I'm proud of me. I'm growing.
A lot of times when I make those posts, it's also for inside teenage Cecil and inner child Cecil. But it's also for people to be able to share. Right. Because I know I'm not the only person sitting with that feeling.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that particular day I needed to see that. Right. I needed to know in a year from now when my memories pop back up that I can remember, okay, you told yourself that.
Yeah.
Because we are, especially being a black man, I know it's hard to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Right. It's hard to see the growth. It's hard to see that who you are in the present moment is enough. You don't have to do more or be more. You don't have to be performative. You don't have to wear your mask. That where you're at in your life right now, you have created for you. If it's a struggle, just be honest with your struggle, right? We currently are in a climate where everybody is struggling.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Everybody.
Everybody. So sometimes we just need that positive reinforcement for ourselves because sometimes we're not going to get it from everybody else. The outside world not going to tell us it. So if we can tell ourselves in the mirror, or we can tell ourselves on social media who we are outside of the outside noise of why are you posting that or why are you saying that? Sometimes it's just you need to just say it for you, right? Yeah. And you need a visual, because sometimes we're just visual learners. So if I don't see it visually, or I don't repeat it like a mantra or a repeated phrase, or it's in my memories a year from now, I'll forget it. So that was more for me just to see it like a post-it note.
Yeah.
It goes back to the one question that my grandma asked me when I was 15. And your aunt Laura, right? And she's like, she's sitting in her recliner. I'm sitting in the chair at her house watching TV like a regular teenager. And she was like, I got a question for you. And I was like, here we go.
Oh, man, she's right? good at them like, questions.
And she says, who are you? And I was like, Cecil, right? Like, that's what I know to be Cecil. And she's like, no, who are you? Mm-hmm. And at 15, you kind of like, all right, grandma, I'm trying to watch TV. Like, fast forward to a couple years later, probably when I'm like early 20s, I was like, oh.
This is what she meant.
This is what she was asking me. And it was about not simply your identity, not father, not cousin, grandson. She meant intrinsically, internally, who are you? Mm-hmm. Right? What makes you who you are? Is it that you enjoy being a video gamer? Is it that you enjoy doing YouTube videos? Is it that you enjoy doing riding your bike and running or racing? Is it who are you outside of your titles?
Yeah.
Strip that and internally look at yourself. So those four different things was me saying, like, I'm dope, right? Mm-hmm. I know when I show up, when I need to show up, I know what I'm doing. I know that I can be myself and be comfortable. And if you ask me a question, I don't have to be afraid of the response.
Yeah.
Right. I know I'm enough. I can show up and be who I am, and I don't have to add more to that. I don't got to add no seasoning to it. I just got to.
Because you are the seasoning.
I am the seasoning. Right. I brought it with me. And then knowing I'm proud of me is because I know that the days when I do struggle, when I do internalize, that I'm still showing up.
Yeah.
Right. So it was more so like reminding me of that question my grandma asked me, and also just posting it on social media so people could see it.
Yeah. And I will say, from being around you, that it helps me because a lot of times, I mean, you see me vulnerable.
Still waiting on that pot. But
other people don't get a chance to see me vulnerable in that way. So when I see you doing it, I'm like, yeah. And one thing you said to me that I was like, man, I am dope too. And we were talking about how our professions can be codified. Like everybody now is a mental health professional. Expert. And then I'm like, everyone's a leadership expert. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I got a whole PhD in leadership in theory. And you were like, I have degrees.
Listen.
Some people have certificates.
Listen.
And when you said that to me, I was like, oh, yeah, it kind of helps you just settle in your own dopeness.
Yes. Yes. Because sometimes I forget I have them. Mm-hmm. And it's not on purpose. It's just I know the information that I was taught.
Yeah.
Right. So the paper itself just certified what I already knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I have the ability to say I can walk into a room and say, well, now I have a master's degree from Spring Arbor University, graduated August 2021.
Yeah.
Right. Or I got my undergraduate degree at University of Toledo
mm-hmm.
back in 2009.
Yeah.
Right? I can certify that. It's not a certification, but I can certify. You can go grab my degrees off the wall mm-hmm. in my office and know I have that information to be certified.
Yeah. The skills.
Versus
and
I sat in front of someone who was an expert. Now I have a certification from that expert because mm-hmm. I have a couple hours under my belt. And now I'm good. And it's like there's a difference.
Yeah.
Right. Mental health is a push right now. Right. It's a big thing that everybody's talking about. And that's a great conversation. But I sat in internships to do my hours. I've done clinical hours. I've sat in for years doing work in the community, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not at this phase of my life because I just woke up and was like, oh, I have a degree. Now I get to be a therapist. It's like, no, I've done the work.
You put
right?
in the work.
For years. This is year 15 for me as therapist. So the degrees just certify what I already knew.
What you knew.
Right. I already knew the information. They just said, okay, now you know it. You've learned it. We've given you all of the pillars. We've given you all of the things that the social work board wants you to know.
Yeah.
You're good. So there's a difference. And there's no shade to anybody who's listening to this as a listener.
No shade.
It's just I'm saying I know I have the information from a degree.
Yeah.
And I've sat in front of professors and I've sat in front of teachers. So it's a little bit different.
Okay. And segueing into that, that kind of gets into how boundaries show up in your post. Now, you posted, this is how I'm feeling sometimes, but after 6, you will get a response the following morning. Boundaries are in effect.
Listen, deep breath for this one. So a lot of times boundaries for people are not the best feeling, right? They feel like you're being rude, or they feel like you aren't giving them the information they need right then and right there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I get messages on my messenger at 10 o'clock at night. Hey, can you tell me if you got any opens for therapy?
Oh.
Right. And so I'll be like, I'm going to hit you tomorrow in the morning. And sometimes I'll accidentally open it. And so, you know, when you open it, they see that you've seen it. Right.
Yeah.
So I'll still open it and respond the next day. Right. Because for me, my boundary is therapy does not need to be talked about all day, every day. Right. That's not my identity. That's just my job.
Okay.
Right. It's a career that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets uncomfortable because I now have to be the person that's like, see, what would you do if you were just see right now? Would you respond at 10 o'clock at night about this conversation? It's like, or would they even ask a therapist at 10 o'clock at night?
Mm.
Are you going to walk into a hospital and ask a doctor at 10 o'clock at night to work on you? Because they're not in play right now. They're not working.
Yeah.
Their office hours are 8 to 6. Mm. Right. So would you do this to a doctor? Would you do this to a nurse if they weren't 24 hours?
Or if you weren't connected to them on Facebook?
Would you still do this? Right.
Yeah.
And because I have the presence as a therapist, right, a lot of people say, well, I can't name many other black male therapists.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't change the fact that you still need to come to me only, right?
Yeah.
Right. I've become the black unicorn is what I've been called mm-hmm. before. Doesn't change that I still have a child.
Yeah.
Right. I'm still a father. Doesn't change the fact that I need to unwind myself and decompress.
Mm-hmm.
So my boundaries come in place for me to be able to manage my own personal mental health outside of being therapist C mental health for everybody else in the community.
Yeah, because you deal with a lot. I mean,
listen, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
So in therapist C is a, I would say, honestly, is the identity that I know I'm strong at. Right. You mm-hmm. can't tell me anything once I walk in that room that I'm not on Superman, right?
Yeah.
I got my Clark Kent glasses on. When I walk in, I take that coat off. I put my book bag down. Let's go. I got you. What you need? What we need to do? What am I tackling today?
Mm-hmm.
Once I walk out, though, now I have to turn back on and see.
Right? Now you got to be dad see.
Now I got to be dad see. Or I have to, now, like I said, you put Clark Kent glasses on, right?
Yeah.
Now you don't know that I'm therapist.
Yeah.
So I tell people, once you walk in my office, I don't even know you anymore. And they go, well, what does that mean? I never, it's confidentiality, mm-hmm. right? So once you walk out, I forget you.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, but it's not that I forget the information you've told me. It's not that I forget anything that we've discussed or traumas. I just don't want to run into you and you be like, now you're in freeze mode. Like, oh my God, like now I see him in public. Like, it's like, no, I'm regular. I'm shopping just like you.
Yeah.
I go to the mall. I still eat at restaurants. I still get to be myself. But once I remove that therapist-y boundary cape, now I go back into regularcy, which then that's why I love putting in the grills at that point. Because I'm like,
yeah, man, your grills
are listen,
dope.
Just get away from me. So that's my boundary in place. The grills sometimes are my boundary in place.
I told mama I was going to get some grills. I said, I'm about to be 50 next year. Ain't nobody tell me nothing.
At all. They should not be able to.
Literally. And you put, I know in the early part of 2025, you weren't accepting new clients.
No.
And you put that on Facebook, mm-hmm. and everybody was like, oh my goodness. So tell me, how do you hold space for the guilt for not being able to accept new clients and help everybody?
Whew. This is the, I'm glad, I'm crazy. I'm kind of glad you asked this question. It's wild because I've sat in that space for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Being who I am and knowing there was a particular black male therapist. His name was Jamon Walker. We lost him about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And he was one that I would, basically, if I couldn't do it, I could pass him along to him.
Okay.
Right now in the city of Toledo, there's not many of us mm-hmm. that I
go
pass.
To one of them and he's booked.
Right. Yeah. And so even in the world, we only in the United States, there's about 3-5% of black males who are in psychology, social work, counseling. So you got to think in the city of Toledo, there's about, I think that I looked up about 400,000 people. You got to think of that small percentage of the demographic. There's probably 25-30% African-American demographics. Yeah. So then I become everybody's therapist because they go, oh, well, he does well.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Word of mouth. It's typically word of mouth for me. So when people come to me, I'm like, ooh, I'm booked. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm 2-3 weeks out. I never want people to have to feel like you got to wait an extended amount of time to come see me.
Yeah.
I'm not this great person. I'm still a regular person, right? I know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. but I'm not this great person. So it's hard with the guilt to feel like, I got to tell you no, right? And it goes back to what we just discussed, the boundaries, right? Now I got to tell you no because now I have clients myself that I don't want them to have to wait longer because now I'm adding you. Or I'm adding you and your family, or I'm adding you and four other people. So I've learned to say no, but the guilt still sits heavy on me.
Yeah.
Because I know someone will tell me a story, hey, they're really struggling and I think you'll be great. It's like, whoo, now you've given me that word of affirmation. That's one of my love languages. Now you've been like, you've heard from someone else who I work with.
Uh-huh.
Now I feel like, dang, I owe you something.
Yeah.
Right. I'm obligated to you because in our culture, right, in African-American culture, we felt like we're family now.
Yeah.
Right? So-and-so didn't told you about me. Now I got to find a way to help you out. But then I'm overextending myself, right?
And then you become grumpy. He becomes grumpy, everybody, when he overextends.
I'm overextending myself. Now I'm thinking in my mind, okay, how can I figure this out? And I've learned that guilt will eat me up if I don't just say like no.
Okay.
Right. And then I say, okay, well, I know someone else. And people are like, I'll just wait for you. And it's like,
oh. I was like, please don't wait.
Yeah, don't wait for
me. Don't wait.
Please don't wait for me. So when it comes to that, the therapist C guilt is heavy. C be like, just say no. Right. C is big on be like, just say no.
Yeah, C.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't,
they don't
I think
know.
People really think.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, you see the therapist
the nice
C, social media C. I really want to be like, the cookie comes out of me and be like, because they think my mom was real nice. She really
wasn't. She cut you.
So I just want to be like, no, I can't. My bad. Here goes somebody else. Move on.
But this with you. Okay. So then you posted on Facebook, if I really tapped in my ego, mm-hmm. I would be dangerous. That's the C.
So that,
tell me about that.
So that ego one was one that I keep hearing. People keep telling me to like release the person that is internally, and I'd be like, y'all don't really want to see him because I just y'all wouldn't like me.
They would cry.
They wouldn't. I'm really blunt.
Very.
I don't pack any punches when I'm saying things.
Does not.
And I'm saying it from a space of loving, but sometimes it can come from a space of I just don't care.
Very much so.
And so when I say tap into my ego, I simply meant like if I really doubled down on who I know I am internally and the things I tell people and the things I say and being overly, I don't say overly confident, but being confident, I would probably tick people off a lot more than I do now.
Yeah.
Right. And being that particular person, the person that people are like, just say that, just do that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really want me to.
No.
There are times where I've literally scrolled past the post because I know what I would say would cause way more frustrating things. And they're like, but aren't you, people are just wrong, aren't you the therapist? And it's like, that's not my identity.
Yeah.
Right? That's just my career. And sometimes I want to respond that to people like, I'll make a joke about something. They'd be like, from the therapist? And I'd be like, from the Cecil? Like, because that's just who I am. I'm just Cecil. Like, it's not this therapist thing. I don't have it on all the time. I promise you guys. So there are just parts of me that I know people don't really want to see. They just think they want to see.
Yeah.
Right? It's the perception of, this sounds good. Let's kind of see if he's in this ego space. And it's like, you don't really want to see that.
No, trust me, guys. Like, you really don't want to see ego seed.
And that's why I said I would be dangerous, because I know it would tick people off even more for me to say the things that's in my head. Right?
Oh, my goodness.
That I haven't filtered out, right? Because typically there's a little nice little mental health filter that I have that I'm like,
cut the veil.
Yeah, I'm like, don't say that, see. But if I just said it without that filter, like without the Brita filter, right? Like, you're going to get this unfiltered water, right?
Yeah.
So I try not to, but I really want to, like, in a couple years, when I get into my 40s, I think I want to unravel.
Oh, don't say it like that. I'm going into 50. Golly.
Because everybody, this is how I explain it to a lot of clients who are in their early. This is me talking about therapy. So a lot of times I tell my clients who are in their 20s, like, that's your early adulthood.
Yeah.
Right. I wish someone would have told me in my 20s just to live it and have fun and make mistakes and enjoy it and not try to be as serious as I was. Right. I got a college degree in my 20s. I worked my first career job at like 23.
Yeah.
I should have just been enjoying my 20s,
having fun,
making mistakes, learning. And then at 29, transition right into my 30s as a real adult.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because in your 30s, you start to realize there are things you want to accomplish a lot more than you did in your 20s.
Yeah.
Plus, my brain wasn't fully developed at 23 anyway.
It doesn't fully develop until 25. The decision-making part of your brain doesn't fully develop until 25.
I should have been, right? I got married in my late 20s,
yeah.
Right? Getting ready to have a kid by 30. I was being serious.
Oh, you was right? Real serious.
Somebody should have been like, hey, slow
down.
Right? Like, what are you doing? And then in my 30s, I got more serious about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably should have had someone tell me, like, hey, be serious in your 30s.
Yeah.
Because by the time you get to your 40s, that's real adulthood.
Oh, my goodness. And then when you're like me, 50 next year, you're like, shoo, man, I did some things wrong.
And I think that would have helped me a lot more realizing and knowing that I'm getting ready to be 40 next December, right? So this December I'll be 39. Next December I'll be 40.
Mm-hmm.
So if I would have just slowed down in my 20s, got to my 30s and realized what I really wanted,
yeah.
and embracing who I was a lot more, I think I would have done, I don't want to say, that ego would have been even more dangerous, right?
Because
he would have understood the slowdown, the buildup. You're going to make mistakes in your 20s. 30s are going to be a little bit more stable. 40 is when life really hits.
Yeah.
Right? When you're like, okay, now I got to do this. I need to do that. I'm over that hump now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of why.
And that's why people have midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get to a point and they're like, man, I should have did this, 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 and this. Because no one told us, right?
No one.
You know? And so, yeah, it's like you're doing this metamorphosis and I, when I'm looking, I'm like, man, I'm be 50. I don't feel like I'm 50. I still feel like I'm in my 30s.
Makes sense. I would never.
And so it's like, shoot, I tell everybody I'm going to be here like another 50 years to drive y'all crazy. That's why I take my vitamins.
Here's the fun part. We talk about midlife crisis like that's 40. Really, midlife crisis is like 35.
35.
Yeah, 35, 37,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, some people like really only live to their 70s. Yeah.
So midlife, 35, 37, right? You're like, ooh, I really need to make some changes. We be thinking 40s and 50s is midlife. In reality, who's living to 100, right? Who's living past 80, 90 years, right?
Me.
I hope so. Right. So I can get on people's nerves anymore.
Yeah, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, if we look at midlife crisis at 35, I had a midlife crisis. It's called Aiden. So, yeah. We'll talk about Aiden. That on the next episode. Listen. when it's Dr. P unhinged.
That's hilarious.
Speaking of unhinged, let's talk about your dating life.
Of course, this is the, like, and the fact that she's laughing is hard because she understands, we've talked about it, and I just probably made a post a couple days ago.
Yeah, so yeah. Okay, I'm going to ease us in. You put, I want to do that trend of pros and cons of dating me because I already know. Tell me about it.
So here's the fun part. I am a avid doom scroller, okay? So when people scream therapy and therapy, you're not supposed to be doing doom scrolling. I'd be like, I'll be at home doom scrolling on my couch under my cover with the TV on in the background for white noise. And there is a list that I always see of, like, the friends. But, I shot my friend a text and the pros and cons of me dating me. One, I don't have many friends to shoot that text to. So that's just number one. That's that part. But also, I know when it comes to the pros and cons of dating me that I can be
a lot.
But I also can be a lot and traumatize people with dating.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
Because the part of me that has healed, I have been in therapy myself. Mm-hmm. I have been to grief counseling when I lost my mom.
Yeah.
And I have been in regular therapy. I've even been in couples counseling as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been on the other side of the couch. I haven't been to therapy in a while, but I need to go back. So that's one thing. And that's regular C talking, not therapist C talking.
Mm-hmm.
But I know my pros can outweigh the cons.
Yeah.
But sometimes my cons can outweigh the pros, right? And the reason I say that is because my cons can be traumatizing to someone who is unhealed.
Yes.
And my pros can be also traumatizing to someone who's unhealed.
Yep.
Because you view those behaviors from a very rose-colored lens.
Yeah.
Right? You've walked into many relationships who treated you wrong. Right. You walked into many relationships of men who do sneaky things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm like not responding, your first mind goes, oh,
he
got to be with
somebody else.
And I really be on my couch under the cover at home. Right. I will tell you what I'm doing if you ask me. Mm-hmm. If you call me, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm not going to ignore you. If I don't respond in that first few minutes, it's because I was doing something that I wasn't by my phone. But my behaviors a lot of times can emulate very unhealed behaviors. But then the only child in me, the Capricorn in me, just wants my space and time. And space and time for people looks like distance.
Yes.
Right? And a lot of times when you're not being very communicative, right, or communicative, you look like a person who doesn't want to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm vulnerable in a space of I've told you this, I've let you into this space,
mm-hmm.
I've talked to you about this, it can sometimes make women say, well, you're not being vulnerable enough. And I'd be like, I teach vulnerability. Why would I be not be vulnerable enough?
Like, right? I do this for a living.
For a living, right? but sometimes I also get into relationships where people are mirrors, right? So I mirror for them and then mirror for me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's frustrating. And I think that's when that pros and cons of dating me even comes out even more.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, what about you? Because you keep putting it up to me. So what about you? But then I'm also learning I have to come from a space of love first.
Yeah.
And not because I don't know what love is. It's just that sometimes love is scary.
Very.
Right? And love hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Love is intimidating.
Yeah.
And so when I'm in this dating phase, love typically feels like a space of a void, right? I lost my mom. Yeah. So that void a lot of times for love is very hollow,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the person who loved me unconditionally
yeah,
is cool. No longer here,
yeah.
right? So now you want me to love you and you won't go away. And you think, I don't think you're going to go away. Right? But internally, I just lost a person who loved me the most.
Oh, wow.
Right? So at what point do you want me to not be honest with you? Right? I know you're going to walk away. Right? Why would you not walk away? I just lost my mom.
Oh, see, so.
Right?
So I never heard it like that.
And so I think sometimes we forget that. Yeah. Right? And when you're in a dating relationship, you have to realize I have a void, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how much therapy I go to.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much grief I go to. There's a void.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to fill it, but it's also something that I have to remember that it's there.
Yeah.
Right? And so when women come into my life and they're like, oh, yeah, this is great. And I still have a void, right? Mm-hmm. May 6, 2021, February 18th, those two particular dates, Mother's Day, yeah. I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
Right. In the month of May, my mind is just, I'm on autopilot.
May is not your month.
It's not at all. And sometimes February, I can kind of know. But for the most part, like those 2 months specifically, I'm just like, I'm physically here, mm-hmm. but mentally I'm gone.
Yeah.
And I know it. So I try to let people know that in advance. Mm-hmm. Right. May, February, just so you know, when you're dating me, I'm just removed.
Yeah.
You might get parts of me, but I'm not fully here. And so I apologize in advance, but I'm letting you know this now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest con.
Yeah. And that, I mean, listening to you, I'm like, that would explain one. Well, that would explain, it explains something I could never voice about not having my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing how that impacts me in relationships, I'm sitting here like, he just spoke to what I've been trying to voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting to when you were talking, I'm like, oh my God, is this Ruben talking through? Like, did they like switch bodies or something? Because I'm like, he says the same thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we talk about this, that in relationships, if you're used to, because usually when someone says, hey, I need space, and then you like, okay, I'm going to give them space. And this is previous relationships, you know, you go to the movies like, wait a minute, he said he needed space, but he's over there with
exactly
someone else, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, I can see that part of you just needing space or mm-hmm. alone time can trigger someone who's experienced someone using that as a con to not be honest.
And the other part is I think the women I've encountered have this thought of me, right? This perception of me. Because I get the attention I get on social media.
Oh, yeah, you be thirst trapping. That's what I call his post, y'all. I'm like, Cecil, you're being vulnerable, and it's you think you're setting up a boundary,
that's literally
but it's
it.
Really a thirst trap.
Here's the water part, right? I am 38. This, and I've been divorced now 2 years. I didn't realize I was attractive until last year when I was 37.
Get out of here.
And I tell people that that's their response. Well, you must know. I don't. I genuinely do not think with attractiveness first, because when I was a kid, there's so many other childhood wounds that I still have from that. And people are like, well, that's not something you can use now. Why not?
Listen,
right. I'm 37, still I'm in an adult body, but I still have teenage C and I still have inner child C that I still have to talk to and let them know that the world is safe.
Yeah.
Right. Adult C knows the world is safe because he knows right now, presently, what it feels like to be an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Teenage C doesn't. And adult C doesn't. I mean, I'm sorry, not adult C, but inner child C doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? Because those two kids and those two inner feelings didn't understand that the world was safe and liked him and thought he was attractive. But adult C presently knows he's attractive, right? Yeah. Because that's what comes out. Doesn't change the fact that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm about to be in her DMs. There,
no,
I'm not. And guys, here's the even fun part, right?
He's not going to be in your DMs. Just trust me.
And I'm not going to walk up to you and say like,
he
hey.
He won't. So if you think he's attractive, you're going to have to go with a sign that says, Cecil, I think you're hot.
Blinking sign. It got to be one of them Vegas signs that say, like, with light so I can know what's going on.
Guys. Yeah, and you know, for a woman, they may not do that.
Yeah, no.
So, okay, so we're getting to the end. Got one more question for you.
Perfect.
In relationships, what's a boundary you once failed to set, but you wish you had, And what did that cost you?
Losing my voice.
Tell me more, sir.
I learned that silence and quietness worked for me, right? Because I felt like the more and more I talked, the more and more I got misunderstood. Right? And so a lot of times once I felt like I was not being understood and being misunderstood, I stopped talking. Versus telling you, hey, this is how I'm feeling, right? And if you say it once, I'm done, right? So if I tell you something about myself, mm-hmm. and I say this is what works for me, and then it doesn't continue to show that that's what works for me, I don't say it again. And people go, well, say it again. Why?
Because I told you once.
I've said it out loud, right? So now you've not only have I established that boundary out loud and told you once, you want me to then reopen that boundary again for you to do the same thing you did the first time, right? That doesn't make much sense to me. Mm. So a lot of times for me, I've struggled with that in dating. That's been something that's struggled. A lot of my dating things, I've been told I ghost people, which I do. That's a regular C. I don't have the capacity sometimes.
He'll come back though, guys.
Listen, I will. I'll give people chances. That's the crazy part. People don't realize that. Then I have been removed from my social media post, right?
Yeah.
Right? And it's nothing that I be thinking like, dang, it's just a post. Like, it's just social media.
Be talking.
Social media not real to me, right? Because the real me is when I turn off that social media and I'm in my house and I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm internalizing and I'm being human. I think people think my social media is really who I am, and it's not. I'm an introvert by nature.
Very much so.
I get to be an extrovert on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And people come up to me and be like, oh, and talk to me, and I'm probably the most socially awkward person. They probably think I'm really just being rude and I'm just awkward, right? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to hold a conversation outside of if I know you. I say very minimal one-line sentences. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, that boundary in dating of saying, hey, I've said this, we got here, now you've done it, you want me to tell you again, you want me to tell you again, and you want me to tell you again.
And you're not going to do that.
And I'm not. And I would hope the other person would do the same for me, right? If you say something to me and I make a mistake, don't say it again, right? That's the comfortability. I'm open to that reciprocation and that exchange. I'm open with telling people, like, take time for yourself. I'm not offended by that, mm-hmm. right? I want you to...
Boy, I remember one time the mister told me, he was like, "Hey, take time for yourself," and then cashed at me a couple hundred dollars. I was like, why are you trying to get rid of me?
And it's not...
Like, what? He don't want to spend time with me?
Because if you're not a better you for you, how can you be a better me, better you for me?
Yep.
Right? I can't be in a relationship with someone who is, I see internally struggling.
Yeah.
I see externally struggling and go, okay, let's go to a movie on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you need to reset yourself.
Yeah.
I see it all over you. I feel it all over you. Go take time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that reset, you come back to me a different person.
Yeah. Now having to do it, it feels good. It's like, okay, babe, you know what? Tomorrow I'm shutting down. Like, I'll let you know. And then it really feels good when he's like, okay, babe,
mm-hmm.
enjoy your day.
Because now you don't have to think, well, what is he thinking? Yeah. Why do they want me to be by my... It's like, I just want
Or if I'm not there, what is he going to do? You know, all the craziness.
Just reset yourself for me and mm-hmm. for yourself, right? And I'm going to do the same so that we can both show up authentically for ourselves and each other. Yeah. Because if you got a lot going on, and I got a lot going on, and we come together...
It's a mess. A whole mess. And ladies, let me tell y'all something about Cecil. If you ever call him and he like, hey, what's going on? He's in a good mood. If he answers the phone like, what's up? Say what you got to say and get off.
Here's the water part. I'm not even a phone person.
He's not. And when I say on faith, I drain his social battery. I am literally, I do. I'm trying to tell y'all, don't call him today because I have done all... I've talked to him enough. Am I lying? Am I right?
Here's the fun part. You are a VIP member. So as much as you call, and I'd be like, I'm like, okay, see, you got this one. You can handle this. You got this. Because there was that one week where I was like, she's
going to be on a high
level.
Y'all.
She was going to be on a high level, I think.
Listen,
and I'm like.
And this is what we talk about, the unhearing see. When he really want to tell you, sit yourself down, get yourself together. And I literally, every day, I even called him, what are you doing? I'm on my way over. I went on his way over. I had a whole meltdown. And then when we got through the meltdown, because I was in my thoughts thinking something crazy and it wasn't, then he was like, see, you was
spiraling
and sliding down walls for no reason.
She was like, I know.
I was like, yeah, I know. He was a safe space for that. But yeah, he is that calm voice. But ladies, he's a lot. He's a Capricorn. Okay, so when do you feel most hinged? I mean, most unhinged.
Typically after work.
Okay.
After work, that's my decompress. I feel like the unhinged me is the decompressy. That's what I think I'm learning that. The one who wants to be able to say whatever is the person who is done with being therapist.
Okay.
Yep.
And do you think in this moment that a dating hiatus might be best?
100%.
Oh wow, that was quick.
Yeah, there's not even I've literally thought about it. I've dated for a little while, a couple different ways. People love to tell me and give me great advice on social media about who I should be interacting with and who I've met and who I haven't met. And dating is this. I think just for me, a dating hiatus might be the best.
Yeah.
Because dating is, it's heavy.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And I'm not a surface level person at all. Right. I'm not surface level. We're not talking about the birds and we're not talking about the bees and we're not talking about the grass and we're not talking about the blue sky. Like, I want to know about you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the thing that bother you the most? How do you unwind?
Boy, that won't trigger somebody to run.
Tell me, what's your coping mechanisms when you're overwhelmed?
And those are heavy questions to answer if you haven't done the work.
Right. Tell me your thoughts before you go to bed. Right. Tell me that type of stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not about to surface. What's your favorite color? Tell me your top three favorite friends. We're not having that conversation right now. I'm a therapist. Right?
You know, I ask Ruben, like, I know I ask him probably at least 3 times a year. Babe, what's your favorite color again? He does that.
Here's the wild part, right, about the favorite color. It's going to change every single time.
Exactly.
And everybody who has a favorite color never wears it.
Never.
You ain't never met somebody say their favorite color and they got it on right then and there.
Yeah.
If you're a listener today, ask your friend what's their favorite color and see what color they're wearing. And it's not their favorite color.
I have a person that says their favorite color is purple. She wears all white all the time.
That's what
I'm like, purple ain't your favorite color.
Can't
She's
be.
Like, it is. I'm like, no, it's not.
Can't
I never see you
Can't
in
be.
Purple.
Ever.
Okay, as we close, any closing thoughts you want to share with people that they need to know about C?
C is a person who loves nerd stuff. I love video games. I love comic books. I love Marvel. I love tinkering with things and breaking things down. I love music. I love fashion. I love wearing hoodies. I like wearing sneakers. I like being myself, which is simply just showing up and doing the things that are fun to me.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't fun to someone else, things that are fun to me, the things I love to laugh about, the things I love to smile about, the things I love to cry about.
Mm-hmm.
That is who C is, right? Is being authentically myself, not what society told me to be as a man, but getting a manicure and putting gel polish on. Telling my son it's okay to put gel polish on.
Yeah.
Getting a pedicure, doing maintenance things, doesn't make me less of a man. It makes me more of who I am authentically as a man.
Yeah.
In this world that we live in, especially a black man.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate this conversation. As you guys know, I am Dr. P, the leadership coach. I am also the president of CISO's dating panel. Just so that you all know that. But I appreciate you being vulnerable in this moment. And so as we close, we'd like to thank our dope producer, Chris Pfeiffer.
Shout out.
And the WGTE team for just hosting us on this podcast. We love y'all double time, and we will talk to you later.
Love you guys.
WGTE. Voices around us.